It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today is our annual holiday kids book show. This hour, we'll find out about the best new books for young readers, and I finally get to shop for all of my nephews. We have invited two of Iowa's newest independent booksellers to help us out this hour. Amber Collins is here. She's the proprietor of the Soul Book Nook in Waterloo, which opened in September. Hello, Amber.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Great, it's so nice to talk to you again. Thanks for doing this.
You're welcome, and likewise.
Amanda Lepper is also here. She is the co-owner of Dog-Eared Books in Ames. This is a store that's so new, the storefront isn't even open yet, but they are doing online business. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Charity.
Well, thank you for being here, and your storefront is scheduled to open in the next couple of months, right?
Right. We hope for February.
All right. Well, and I know a lot of people in Ames have been missing their independent bookstore for a very long time. So this is exciting. And teacher librarian Devin Redmond is also with us from Iowa City. Hello, Devin.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Charity, for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And Amber, why don't you go ahead and go first? And I think we should start off with some of the books for the youngest readers in our lives. What have you got?
Okay. The Jaden Toussaint, the greatest series is by authors Marty Dumas and Stephanie Parkes is the illustrator. It's a book for ages 4 to 10 years old. One of the books is called The Quest for Screen Time. The series is funny. It's a great book to cuddle up with during reading time when you have to pick a book and silently read to yourself for those ages. Jaden, the character, knows it all, can do it all, and with pictures of Jaden in his beautiful big afro and theme-appropriated outfits is in realistic settings, Jaden takes us back to when we used what we had at our fingertips to take us on great adventures. And it just reminds me, I like this book because it reminds me of all those five-year-olds who feel at that age that they really, really do know everything.
Well, in the quest for screen time, I can tell you that there's a five-year-old in my life that is singular about that as well. And this is part of a series, right? So I know that a lot of young readers really dig into a series.
Yes, it's actually a four-episode series. Episode two is called The Late Egg Invasion, and the titles are fun. The next book is called The Muffin Wars, Star Power, Attack of the Swamp Thing.
All right. So that is the greatest series, Jaden Toussaint, the greatest series. And we were talking about the quest for screen time, but there are four books in that series. And Amanda, why don't you go next?
So I was very excited to see that my favorite illustrator, Sophie Blackall, was going to have a book released this year. And her new picture book is called If You Come to Earth. It's a story that takes the form of a child penning a letter to an unknown life form, describing all the basics of what it is to be a human or an animal here on Earth. What is amazing about Sophie's illustrations are just how detailed and beautiful they are. There's, you can pore over every page and see all kinds of people and animals, and she uses really unique perspective. So this letter, this book was inspired by her travels across the world, volunteering with children in different countries. And she felt this desire to create a book that would show children that we're all one people here on Earth, but also honor the diversity. And so in this book, she's accomplished that. She said it was very hard. It took her 5 years to put it together because it meant so much to her. But it is just a beautiful book filled with illustrations of the planets and bird's eye views of different landscapes and different kinds of families and all kinds of people. And so this child is explaining, you know, we do different jobs. We travel in different ways, but we all need food. Some of us have more, some of us have less. And it's just a really beautiful and meaningful book. And again, like I said, my favorite illustrator, anything by Sophie Blackall, is going to be stunning.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the pictures right now, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful book. If You Come to Earth, it's a picture book, and Sophie Blackall is the writer and the illustrator. And Devin, that brings us around to you.
Yeah, the first book that I'm going to start off with is, it's called Your Name is a Song, and it's by Tompkins Bigelow. And I am a teacher librarian, and I hope that every teacher, no matter what grade or subject they teach, buys this book, Your Name is a Song, for themselves and their classroom. And I say this because it is hard to say some students' names, but we still, as teachers, we have to try hard to get it right every time because names matter. As teachers, we need to follow the advice of the mom in this story. Her daughter had a difficult first day of school because no one could say her name correctly. And the daughter doesn't want to go back to school. She's like, I'm not going. Nobody can say my name. And her mom says to tell people to sing every name like it is a song. And doing it like that will help people remember how to say it. So the girl goes back to school the next day, and she says everyone's name like a song. She says Bob's name like a song, Sarah's name like a song, Muhammad's name like a song, Adama's name, Akila's name, Coque's name, and each word really is a beautiful song.
That's lovely. This is Your Name is a Song, picture book by Jamila Tompkins Bigelow. And Amber, that brings us around to you again.
Okay. The next book that I have is by author Evan J. Roberts. It's a children's picture book, and he is an educator, and he also writes fiction and nonfiction for teens. He has mentored youth for more than a decade and emphasizes the importance of self-education, literacy, developing clarity of purpose, and pursuing excellence in life. He is also the author of How to Become Influential and Highly Successful, The Young Adult Success Manual. Introducing today is the Kahari Junior Book Series. It's for pre-K through kindergarten-age children. It's an educational series designed to enhance verbal skills and introduce social and emotional learning. There are 7 hardcover books in the series, and he also features coloring books that go hand-in-hand with each titled book. My favorite book in this series is Share, Share, Share. It's a beautiful picture book, explosive colors, glossy pages, vivid. And the storylines are just what the teacher ordered, especially when many students are doing school virtually. This is a ready-made curriculum for students and parents at home to practice their handwriting skills, sentence structures, and sight word recognition.
Oh, wow. That sounds incredibly useful to a lot of parents and teachers right now. Share, Share, Share is the first of the Kahari Junior books, and this is by Evan Roberts, illustrated by Lee Johnson. So another great series to dig into. And Amanda, back to you.
So my next one is called The Couch Potato. It's written by Jory John and illustrated by Pete Oswald. This is a picture book. It's part of a series. The books are independent, but they have similar themes, very focused on puns. The other books in the series are The Bad Seed, The Good Egg, and The Cool Bean. So they kind of take on those idioms and describe, you know, what does it mean to be the good egg? And if it has any downsides to being the good one or the cool one, what does it mean to be cool? Or what kind of reputation do you have if you're the bad seed? In The Couch Potato, it's related to that kid desire for screen time. The couch potato sits on the couch and he has snacks within arm's reach. He never has to leave. He has half dozen screens in front of him, one set up for messaging, video games, his favorite shows, live streams with his friends. And when he hooks up a new screen to watch himself watching the games and everything, he blows the circuit in his house. The electrical grid goes down and he's forced to find some way to entertain himself until the power comes back on. He heads outside of his comfort zone. Oh, goodness, it's so bright. But he realizes that his friends are out there in the world, and the world is a beautiful place to be, and watches the sunset, walking his dog, And when he gets home and the power's back on, he realizes that he can hit a balance between all this fun screen time and seeing his friends in real life. And during COVID, I know all of us parents are fighting that screen time desire, and you can really get stuck in a rut. So it's a fun reminder that there's fun to be had away from the screens.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we still fighting that fight? Some of us have given up. All right. That is The Couch Potato, written by Jory John, illustrated by Pete Oswald. And we have just about 2 minutes left before the break here. Devin, what's your next pick?
Yeah, my next book is called I Am Every Good Thing by Derek Barnes. And you might know him from his previous book called Crown, An Ode to the Fresh Cut. And that is a story of a boy who feels like $1 million after going to the barber shop. And this is a similar book in that it gathers the good things a boy thinks about himself. It points out the things in life that make him feel strong. The boy does admit to feeling scared sometimes, but his strength comes back full force when he tells himself, I will not answer to any name that is not my own. I am what I say I am. A reviewer of this book says, and I actually really agree as I read it, the text has a cadence that demands to be read out loud, performed, sung, or shouted with joy and veracity. And I think that this book, I Am Every Good Thing, is a really beautiful book to give for a holiday gift or just any everyday I'm thinking of you gift.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the kind of thing where you might want to read it in the morning before a hard day at school, or read it at night after a hard day, or just anytime.
Oh, Charity, that's a really, really great idea.
All right.
It is almost like a just something you could say to yourself in the mirror.
Yeah,
that's
mantra.
A great idea.
I Am Every Good Thing by Derek Barnes, illustrated by Gordon James. And we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes to talk about more of the best new books for the young readers in your life. With me today, Devin Redmond, a teacher librarian in Iowa City, Amanda Lepper, co-owner of Dog-Eared Books in Ames, and Amber Collins of the Soul Book Nook in Waterloo. We will be sharing this list online. The podcast will be up later today, and we should have the list online by tomorrow. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are finding out about the best new books for young readers. Little kids up to teenagers. We'll get to those later on, but we're starting with the elementary age or even younger kids in your life. And with me today to share their lists, Amanda Collins, proprietor of the Soul Book Nook in Waterloo, which opened in September. Amanda Lepper is co-owner of Dog-Eared Books in Ames. Their storefront will open in a couple of months, but they're doing business online right now, and teacher librarian Devin Redmond of Iowa City. And Amber, I think it's your turn again.
Yes. The Backpacks with Feet is by a first-time author named Charlotte Duncan Wagner, and it's illustrated by artist Jerry Washington. She served as a volunteer in the public school systems in Iowa and Nebraska for more than 30 years. It's an endearing book that is meant to be read aloud in the classroom and also at home. And I liked how it included the backpacks, and she also donates each purchase. When customers purchase this book, $1 is donated to the food bank in the local communities to reach and reduce food insecurity in that community. Charlotte personifies the backpacks by giving them human characteristics such as diverse languages, clothing styles, the classrooms, and the teachers. It's an elementary story that I feel enhances the learning curriculum because it encourages each school to substitute their school in names of the students and teachers, and has many sight words for sight word recognition. So I would recommend this book, to every, from, I believe, first grade to fifth grade as a read aloud and then a partnered read with students.
All right. The Backpacks with Feet by Charlotte Duncan Wagner. And Amanda, you're up next.
Great. I love My Best Friend, written by Julie Fogliano. and illustrated by Jillian Tamaki. I had the pleasure of getting to meet Jillian Tamaki in January at our annual booksellers conference. She's a lovely person, but I adore Julie Fogliano's verse. She is truly a poet, and she has this amazing ability to capture the inner workings of a child's mind, how they think about things, their perspective, and put words together that mirror their thoughts. So in My Best Friend, she's talking about the simplicity of how childhood friendships form. There's two girls who are eyeing each other across the playground, interested in each other, you know, that will they play with me? Does this person notice I'm here? And they break the ice, spinning around on the tire swing. Their delight in each other carries over into imaginative and exuberant play. They share each other's likes and dislikes. They show each other their special tricks, and then they rest together in the shade. And as they're leaving for the day, they wonder, will we see each other again? And will I learn my friend's name? Fogliano is just stunning in the way that she's able to capture that immediate intimacy that forms between children. And the artwork is really special. It's a limited color palette. It reminds me a lot of Robert McCloskey, who did
Blueberries
for Sale.
I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah. Make way for ducklings and blueberries for sale. That's exactly what I thought of when I looked at the pictures.
Right. And it's just, there's that classicness, but it's also very fresh, contemporary, you know, children and settings. So anything by Julie Fogliano is going to be special. And I'm really excited to see what else Jillian Tamaki does in picture books. She was, she received an award for a previous graphic novel she put together, but it's fun to see her work in a picture book form.
All right, that's My Best Friend, picture book by Julie Fogliano and illustrated by Jillian Tamaki. And if you loved Make Way for Ducklings and Blueberries for Sal as much as I did as a kid, that's a great one to pass on to the kids in your life. All right, Devin Redmond, it's your turn.
Okay, this book, And the People Stayed Home by Omira, is actually, it started out as a poem that was circulated on Facebook. And I'm sure that, like a lot of other people, I have spent so much time thinking about all of this time spent at home during COVID. And I feel like it's the strangest period because so many people in the world are living the similar reality of, you know, being home during this pandemic. So The People Stayed Home by Kitty Omira is a picture book that feels like a testament to our current lives. It's a witness to sitting with ourselves and our families and finding things to do in our unit at home and not out in public. I do know that while the book is definitely a feel-good poem and it touches on quiet contentment, many people are struggling during this time period. The book doesn't make light of that at all, but it also doesn't address it. But I am going to buy this book for my house just because I think it is such an important historical artifact for 2020.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I mean, with younger kids, I know that your daughter probably doesn't want you to read pictures books to her very often these days. But with younger kids, I can imagine it's a nice reinforcer, too, of this is why we can't go places and it's going to be okay.
Right. Definitely. And the author talks about that in the at the end in the author's notes, just saying that, you know, this isn't just something that we're doing in Iowa City or Waterloo or Ames, but we're doing it all over the world.
And The People Stayed Home by Kitty Omira. And that brings us back to you, Amber.
Okay. What Can a Citizen Do by David Eggers. This book had so few words, yet had the most powerful impact to my sense of humanity and what we should offer to our fellow men. Sean Harris, the illustrator, has provocatively painted scenes of children building a world. So all throughout the book, you see different children, different colors, dressed different, creating a world out of a lonely island. It's inclusive, it's giving, and desirable. It's in sync with Eggers. The pictures are in sync with Eggers, simply defining the definition of not what one looks like to be a citizen, but what one is as a citizen. The book acknowledges that we can't judge by sight what a citizen should be, but judge by the deeds of that individual or person. It, to me, it dispels those stereotypes and those outward perspectives of what a citizen is. And I just thought it was a very encouraging book during this time that shows us that we are all in this together when building this world.
Yeah, definitely. It feels, sounds like a really empowering read right now for kids and grownups.
Yes.
All right. What Can a Citizen Do? A picture book by Dave Eggers, illustrated by Sean Harris. Amanda, you're up next.
I'm sitting here with The Next President, illustrated by Adam Rex and written by Kate Messner. It was a very timely book for 2020 as we anticipated the election and thought forward now to the changing of the guard. What is really cool about this book is the author decided to start with George Washington and say when he became president, there were 9 future presidents already alive in America. And it raises this idea that right now, as we anticipate Joe Biden becoming president, there are 9 or 10 or 8 other future presidents out in the world. What are they doing? Where do they live? Who are they? Are they children? What are they playing at their homes? What jobs do they have out there? So step by step, she kind of examines what future presidents were doing when someone else was in office. Kids who survived the Depression, kids who fought in wars, from various backgrounds. And then as history evolved, some of the big firsts, our first Catholic president, our first female nominee, and all of their presidents are included. Presidents are included through Donald Trump. And the close of the story is, where is our next president? What are they doing? And where are 10 down the line presidents? And it just, I remember as a child thinking people would say, well, maybe you could be the next president. And I felt like that idea kind of faded from mind. Kids aren't really saying that as often anymore. I don't know. Maybe that's just my perspective. But I love the idea that it awoke in children's minds. It could be you, because all these presidents were kids like you one day or previously, and they grew up to become president. So it talks about the hope of the future and opening your mind to the idea that, you know, there's a lot of future ahead for America, and the next president could be you.
All right. The Next President, written by Kate Messner, illustrated by Adam Rex, although kids have to wait until they're 35, but
that's true.
So maybe 3 presidents, 4 presidents from now, it could be you. All right. It looks like a wonderful book, though. Devin, what do you have next on your list?
Yeah, my next book is called Evelyn Del Rey is Moving Away. And I really loved the simple story that Meg Medina wrote here. And I also feel like as I was getting my list ready, I felt like all of the books that I read were being read through this COVID lens. Mm. So one of my favorite things about this story is that the girls were able to be together and they were able to hold hands and they didn't have to worry about pandemic germs. And but it is a very sweet story of Daniela and her mejor amiga, her numero uno best friend, Evelyn Del Rey. And the escapade throughout their apartment is their last hurrah before Evelyn moves. And the end is sad in that, you know, we all know that she's going to move away. And it's always hard when a friend moves, but we know that the girls will be friends forever because that's what numero uno best friends do. Oh, and it was a very sweet story.
And it is so funny how everything is seen through the lens of COVID right now. When I watch television with my kids, sometimes my daughter will get anxious. She's like, I just can't take so many people in a room together.
I know, and I keep trying not to do it, but I just keep doing it.
Right. All right, that's Evelyn Del Rey is Moving Away by Meg Medina, illustrated by Sonia Sanchez. And that brings us back around to you, Amber.
And Kena Ford and The Secret Journal by Melissa Thompson. I thought this book was one of the funniest books I have read all year. It's so realistic to the classroom and the relationships between students that I have observed being a sub in the classroom. It details and captures the sass and attitude of Kena and Tiffany. These are two second graders in the book. As they have conflict that only two second graders can have and get away with it, as they show their dislike for one another in front of families and friends, and from the frustrated teacher who has to paraphrase what she says more than once to the irrelevant things that the kids say in the classroom, I just enjoyed this book tremendously. It was a light read, and I believe that children would enjoy, along with reading even with their parents, as we laugh about some of the behaviors, especially spending time more so with our families and kids in the house. I thought it could just kind of break up some of the heaviness, around these girls are funny. The situations that and conflicts that they have are very entertaining but real to life. So I found this book to be entertaining all the way through. It's great for ages 6 to 8 years of age.
Oh, great. I laugh out loud stuff is so necessary right now. And again, this one is part of a series. And I cannot tell you, Amber, how many of my friends just in the last few days have been posting on Facebook. I need a new series for my second grader. I need a new series for my third grader. So that's a wonderful recommendation. Kena Ford and The Secret Journal Mix-Up by Melissa Thompson, illustrated by Frank Morrison. Again, that one is part of a series. And Amanda, it's your turn again.
As we get ready for winter weather, I really like this book called A Big Bed for Little Snow. It's written and illustrated by Grace Lynn. And it's kind of a sequel, in a sense, to her previous book, A Big Mooncake for Little Star. And in each book, she kind of creates a modern-day myth for a natural phenomenon. In this case, it's snow. It's the onset of winter, and a mother stuffs a boy's bed with fresh feathers. And she says, remember, your bed is for sleeping, not for jumping. But each night after she tucks him in, he jumps and jumps and jumps. And eventually this kind of pillow of a bed springs a leak and some of the feathers start to sneak out. And the next night comes and he jumps and jumps and jumps. And pretty soon lots of feathers are escaping from the bed. And then Lynn depicts this as snow falling on a cityscape below. And you see that Little Snow's bed is actually a big cloud, a snow cloud. And the city below is being carpeted with snow. So I like this way the book brings to life the way kids think about natural phenomena. What is lightning? What is thunder? When you're thinking in a more imaginative or creative way. Or is it someone bowling? Is the rain someone watering the flowers? This is a modern day explanation for snow.
All right. A Big Bed for Little Snow by Grace Lynn. Again, beautiful illustrations. And I know a lot of people were big fans of A Big Mooncake for Little Star. Devin, what do you have next on your list?
You know what, Charity? I am all out of picture books.
That's okay. Let's move on.
Okay. Amanda, you and I must be kind of on the same page because I also had The Couch Potato and If You Come to Earth on my list. So I thought that those were great books, too.
Right. Double recommendation means even more.
Right. Well, so for one of my books for what I usually consider like fourth grade through sixth grade is The Boys in the Back Row by Jung. And this one really got me thinking because girls who are close friends, they can give each other hugs and girls can hold hands and they can say, I love you, and they can spend all of their time together. And in a lot of cases, it's hard for boys to do this. Or if they do it, they might have to say something, quote, like masculine to offset the behavior.
Right. Insult each other a little bit, right?
Right. And I don't think that you find that girls have to do that. So The Boys in the Back Row is a story of two really good friends, Matt and Eric, who are boys, and they are in the school band. They love comics, and yes, they are actually bullied for their behavior and for their strong friendship. And after finding out that Eric is moving across the country, and that's not a spoiler, it's on the book jacket,
okay.
But Eric is moving across the country, and the boys decide to skip the last day of their school band trip to go to a comics convention instead. And so I did like parts of this story. There was a lot of dialogue, and I think that takes a special writing talent. And I also think that the message about toxic masculinity is an important one, because I think a lot of boys feel the pressure to be rough and tumble, but underneath it might not be how they really want
right.
to be.
So a good model for being able to be emotionally available, and a fun book as well, it sounds like. We are out of time. We have to take a short break. That is The Boys in the Back Row by Mike Jung, and we'll be back in just a moment with more books. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we are finding out about the best new books for young readers, and we will have the podcast of this show up later today if you want to listen and make your own list. We'll also be publishing the list tomorrow, so you can see it, and when you go to the bookstore or when you make your order. With me this hour, Devin Redman. She is a teacher librarian in Iowa City. Amanda Lepper, co-owner of Dog-Eared Books in Ames, and Amber Collins of the Soul Book Nook in Waterloo. And Devin moved us on a little bit from some of the books for younger readers, but whatever you have on your list is fine to go next. Amber, what's your next pick?
The Next Place by Warren Hansen, illustrated by Warren Hansen. This book is appropriate for all ages, especially during the times that we are living through, when we have to say goodbye to our loved ones before we are ready to. This book is a moving, beautiful, wistful book on loss and the afterlife. It's a story to read when one does not have the words to say to children or loved ones. And many children and youth connect or relate to the world and the assurance of their world by sight. What they see makes them feel nurtured and comfortable and safe. This book helps those children to cope with the absence of a loved one that can no longer be seen or heard. But it can also help, you know, adults as well and teenagers. This book has moving pictures of serene clouds, stars, and nature. It appeals to the beauty of life and love. And that it kind of gives them the feeling that a loved one has just taken a faraway journey. So it's a beautiful gift of compassion for the bereaved.
Oh, nice. A classic to share some difficult moments. The Next Place by Warren Hansen. And Amanda, that brings us back to you.
I'm going to recommend a early reader series that I'm excited about. It's a series called The Jack Books, written by Mac Barnett and illustrated by Greg Pizzoli. Greg Pizzoli is one of my very favorite illustrators. He has a great bunch of books that he's done on his own, really funny and just really cool screen printed illustrations. Mac Barnett, of course, is one of the great children's book authors out there right now. He has had a great COVID Max book club show through Instagram that a lot of kids have really gotten into. It's hard to find a good early reader series that really captures a kid's imagination that they have fun with. I describe the Jack series a bit like filling the void that Mo Willems left when he ended the Elephant and Piggy series. The book High Jack is the first in the Jack series. It introduces us to Jack, a pretty much naughty rabbit. He reminds me a lot of Rotten Ralph, if any people from the 80s remember those books about a naughty cat. This little bunny, Jack, gets himself into a lot of trouble, but readers get to say, no, Jack, don't do that. Be good, Jack. So it affirms what is right and what is wrong, even if Jack is getting into a little bit of trouble. He has a dog named Rex, and they live with a a woman that they just, I think, call the old lady. and the illustrations are just really, really fun. Kids are going to have fun. They love seeing other kids get into trouble because then it reminds them, oh, I know how to behave. I know how to be a good kid. What's fun also about this series is it's broken into chapters. So kids kind of have the pride of, oh, I'm reading a chapter book. But the vocabulary is very much in that early reader development stage. But there's some fresh vocabulary in there. It's not the dog, girl, boy, sit, all that, the basics that we're used to from some of our early readers. There's some fresh stuff in there for kids to master. So I've really enjoyed this. My early reader has gone through the whole Jack series, and there's Jack and Santa out just now this month or in November. So it's a fun holiday early reader. That'd be fun to gift to an early reader.
All right. A Jack book series written by Mac Barnett and illustrated by Greg Pizzoli. And I could imagine a young reader correcting Jack, kind of like kids do with Pigeon, with the Pigeon books by Mo Williams.
Exactly.
You're yelling at the character, no, that's not how you do it. All right, Devin, we have only about 10 minutes left. So I think that probably means everybody has time for two, maybe three more picks. And we will publish the lists that you've put together. But just so you know, you don't have a whole lot of time left. Devin, what do you want to talk about next?
Okay, I think that I am going to talk about a book that really surprised me, and it's a nonfiction picture book. It's a nonfiction book that reads kind of like a picture book, is what I mean to say. But it's called Honeybee, The Busy Life of Apis mellifera by Candace Fleming. And as we all know, online learning it's definitely presented its challenges, but it's also resulted in some surprises, at least on my end. Kids who normally don't talk in class, well, they discovered that there's this chat feature in Zoom. And let's just say they take full advantage of typing in their thoughts. And so Honeybee, it's a collaboration between Candace Fleming and Eric Roman. It reminds me of a very quiet second grade girl who last spring typed in every single fact she knew about honeybees during a class where we weren't talking about honeybees or even insects, but she was typing in every single fact that she knew. And
I guess
she must have known how important they were to our environment. And so when I saw this book, I totally thought of her, and I'm going to get it for our library and give it to her. But Candace Fleming, she has descriptions of a honeybee's daily activities and their life cycle. And then Roman, Eric Roman, the illustrator, he has very detailed and up-close illustrations of a honeybee. And together they created a perfect book for kids who are interested in the creatures that make up our natural world.
And love to memorize facts.
Yes, yes. And it's just so funny because every time I read a book like that, I feel so lucky to have a job where I get to read books and learn from them like I learned about honeybees.
Yeah. Honeybee, The Busy Life of Apis mellifera, mellifera, there you go.
I think.
Maybe. By Candace Fleming, illustrated by Eric Roman. And that brings us back to you, Amber.
Okay. Now, this book is for high schoolers. It's called Black Cotton Star. It's a graphic novel. It's a beautifully illustrated graphic novel about three black soldiers who go on a mission to Europe during the Revolution War in 1944. And they're seeking a flag said to have been designed by Betsy Ross for the U.S. And along with that flag is a secret ode to the black race. So these artifacts, they belong to America. The book, I think, explosively and adventurously leads us through Paris, the Ardennes Mountains, Captain Snow, and dangerous war zones to seek these items. I love this graphic novel because it is so rare that we get a graphic novel, a historical graphic novel, historical fiction about African-American soldiers on a noble quest for America. It reminded me of the Hellfighters, also known as the 369th Infantry, which was a powerful regiment of African-American soldiers during World War II who held enemy lines. They held it for 191 days, and they were also chosen to lead the Allied forces to the Rhine. I feel like high schoolers can get a glimpse of what various races and individuals oftentimes have sacrificed to build America. And as you know, Charity, that's one of my missions, is to make sure that our children see themselves on the pages of a book.
Yeah.
You know, having adventures or being an asset to their nation, their communities, and their neighborhoods. And I believe this is one of those great finds that I would recommend.
Yeah, it looks like a terrific book. Black Cotton Star, a graphic novel of World War II. And again, that being a graphic novel, that makes it extra accessible. I mean, it sounds like something that a really advanced reader would enjoy, but also maybe something
yes.
that someone who's not as advanced a reader could dig into.
Exactly. I had that request from a parent who wanted her youth to read. It was a male child, and wanted him to do more reading, and I suggested to her a graphic novel would capture his attention if he did not like to read,
yeah.
you know.
And I feel like we're kind of living in the golden age of the graphic novel right now, honestly. So this one is Black Cotton Star, a graphic novel of World War II. And that brings us back to you, Amanda.
Speaking of the golden age of graphic novels, one of the greats in the middle grade area is Victoria Jameson. She put out the book Roller Girl, which has been very popular amongst middle grade children. And her most recent one is actually nonfiction, nonfiction adjacent. It's called When Stars Are Scattered. And it's the life story of Omar Mohammed, who spent the majority of his childhood in a Kenyan refugee camp. He was a Somali boy who lost his parents in the civil unrest there, and he grew up in a refugee camp in Kenya with his younger brother who has special needs. Victoria met him while volunteering to help settle refugees in America and got talking to him about his story. He'd been trying to write a memoir about his experiences growing up, and Victoria wanted to turn it into a graphic novel to bring that story to children everywhere to help them understand just how much children have in common with these refugees. They have friendships, they have frenemies, they struggle in school, but also how desperate the situation of a refugee is when they're in those camps. It's wonderfully illustrated, very readable, very compassionate towards this young boy and all of the pressure he carries to take care of his younger brother and his hopes to one day be resettled in America. It will really open a child's eyes to what it means to be a modern day refugee anywhere in the world.
And again, very welcoming artwork in this one as well. When Stars Are Scattered by Victoria Jameson. And that brings us back to you, Devin. And Amanda didn't talk about one of the graphic novels on your list.
I think that's the one I'm going to talk about. Are you talking about Flamer?
Oh,
is that
go for whatever you want.
Was there a different one that you wanted me to talk about?
No.
Okay. So the graphic novel that I was going to talk about is also a young adult book. That means that it won't be in elementary libraries, but it might be in junior high or high school and then in the teen sections of libraries. But it's called Flamer by Mike Corrado. And Aiden is an overweight Filipino-American boy who is at a Boy Scout camp the summer before he starts high school. And it's a safe place for him for the most part because he does have strong friendships in his Boy Scout troop. And he enjoys being outside under the stars and away from a chaotic home life and his Catholic school days, which are filled with intense bullying. But even at the Boy Scout camp, there are boys who are bullies, and they too can cause Aiden some hardship. So take all of that along with Aiden's slow realization that he might be gay, and you just have a really powerful story. It's not always an easy story to read. I think what was hardest for me was the utter anguish that Aiden felt because of his Catholic school upbringing. And like I said, the book is filled with inner confusion and torment, and it also does have some suicide ideation. But at the same time, it's also filled with strong friendships, beautiful tranquility, strength, and then a small shred of self-acceptance that a high schooler can find. And then as an aside, after I read the book, I read about the book, and there was a teenager who, after finishing it, she immediately asked her mom to buy 3 copies of the book so that she could secretly deliver them to friends who needed the book in their life. So I feel like my voice was extra shaky there because it just is such a powerful book that somebody out there might need right now.
Absolutely. All right. That one is Flamer by Curado. And we have about 2 minutes left. So if each of you could give me one title with the very briefest description on our way out today. Amber, what's your final pick of the day?
Okay, Stomp by Laban Carracchio with a foreword by Nikki Giovanni. If I can incorporate any book into the education curriculum of high school students, it would be this explosive literary work detailing the rise of the Harlem Renaissance from 1900 to 1920. Although they have accounts of race issues and violence and subjugation of human rights, it can be painful to read, but it is also powerful in teaching students how to deal with rejection and oppression, to redevelop, reclaim, and proactively redeem and define one's culture, communities, and their neighborhoods.
All right. Harlem Stomp, A Cultural History of the Harlem Renaissance by Laban Carracchio and Nikki Giovanni. And Amanda, quickly.
Dragon Hoops by Jean Yuen Yang, a young adult graphic novel. It's a true life story, nonfiction of the historic bid for the California State Championship. The Dragons are the varsity team at Jean's school. Their backstory is outstanding. A lot of topics of diversity, and it's fascinating. Middle grade to young adult will enjoy this. I read it and was captivated. It keeps you in suspense, but you also learn a lot about the history of basketball. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
All right.
The cover is super cool. It's textured just like a basketball.
Very cool. Dragon Hoops by Jean Luen Yang. And your final pick, Devin.
Okay, my final one is called Class Act, and it's written by Jerry Craft. It is a sequel to Jerry Craft's New Kid, and I just have to say that when I told fifth graders in my school that there was a sequel, they literally cheered. So you will see all of the same characters from New Kid. It's just this one features Drew Ellis as the main character.
All right. And of course, New Kid was a huge, huge graphic novel hit. So this is exciting that we get to have another one of these. Class Act by Jerry Craft. And we will publish the podcast of the show so you can listen to it later and make your own list. And tomorrow, the list of all of these books will be available online. Devin Redmond, Amber Collins, and Amanda Lepper, thank you all so much for being here today. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Thanks for listening.